Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Please, you should move here. This side. Mataji should move there. Yes. Otherwise they'll complain at the end.
You guys have responsibility if you're not hearing, if you're not going to sit.
The Vedic knowledge is two types, paravidya, transcendental knowledge, and aparavidya, material knowledge connected with the Lord and thus spiritualized. Disconnected from its spiritual dimension, material knowledge becomes useless and even dangerous. What would you like to read? The quote? Would you like to read the quote?
Śrīmad Vinoda Thakura, the great Acharya, maintained that all
mentioned.
Maintained. Maintained that all forms of material knowledge are merely external features of the illusory energy, and by culturing them, one becomes no better than the rest. This same principle is found here in Sri Chaitanya. By advancement of material knowledge, modern man is simply being converted to the rest.
Thank you. So why here it is compared to a donkey? Because a donkey carries a heavy load on his back, but he's not able to use it for his own purposes. He's carrying this load and someone else is taking advantage. So in the same way, these karmi scholars, they have so much knowledge and they carry this heavy burden, but they are not able to use it for their own self-interest. Self meaning the soul. And even, as Maharaj pointed out this morning, even most of them, they are not even able to use it materially. They cannot even apply it in the material life. So it's just completely useless. At least some of them are able to make some money out of it, but many, they just have this burden and they don't know what to do with it. If they are lucky enough, they get some job as a teacher and they teach some subject matter that nobody is really interested. This was the standard, at least when I was in the high school. The standard was, this was the standard understanding of all my friends, that we are studying things that they don't have any practical application in life. If you would ask 100 kids at school, can you apply any of this in your life? 100 times you'll get the answer that no. Of course, you can apply it some here and there, some little maths. You learn to multiply and this much you can apply. But the rest. So this is why here it is said, an ass, being converted into an ass and donkey. The modern education has no value because it does not give actual knowledge. As a result, in the contemporary society, there are anomalies such as nationalism, religious fanaticism, and lack of culture. Genuine knowledge is acquired from a dhira, one who is not disturbed by material illusion.
So people are searching, asking, what is God? Searching, 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 but they fail. They say, oh, there is no God. I am God. Finished. You see, this is not possible. Here it is said, iti susruma. This is Vedic knowledge. Heard, susruma. From where does susruma come? From the storekeeper? No. Dhiranam susruma. Iti susruma dhiranam. What is dhiranam? It comes from the sober sect. Not this fanatic sect, but the sober sect, dhira. Dhira means whose senses are not agitated by material influence, or swami, or goswami. Srila Prabhupada's lecture on Sri Usha Upanishad, Mantra 10, LA 1970.
Thank you. That means unless someone is self-controlled, he is not qualified to give transcendental knowledge. He cannot speak on transcendental subject matter. And we shouldn't listen from such people. This automatically rules out practically everybody on the academical field, especially the so-called Indologists and different scholars who study the Vedas. Of course, there are exceptions. There are always exceptions. But this is the general rule, that unless someone is self-controlled, he's not qualified to study the Vedas, even to study what to speak of teaching the Vedas. Yes.
So, what is an exception of that?
Well, I heard from different authorities, sannyasis, like this. There are some of these scholars, they are favorable toward Krishna consciousness. Although they themselves, they are not practicing, but they are somewhat favorable, and when they write books or speak on these topics, they present proper, they have a proper presentation of our philosophy. So they are not inimical. They are not so gross materialistic. So, but still, we should not listen. We prefer to listen from realized persons, from devotees who actually practice and who are realized. We don't listen from these people just because they are scholars and they have knowledge. In this sense, not all of them are really negative. Some of them may get the proper picture. Still. Yes?
It's the understanding that, like Maharaj was saying this morning, if knowledge is not applied, then it's useless. If knowledge
is not applied,
so then
yeah.
If people are not practicing it, yeah, then they cannot teach you really what to do with it.
That's the point. Right. Although they get it, to some extent they get it right, they can explain it to you, but they are not qualified to be spiritual teachers. And normally we shouldn't listen from them. Swatra Maharaj was giving an example about such karmic scholars who are sitting in a pub drinking and discussing technical details from the Satsang Darbas of Jiva Goswami. What does he mean? This Sanskrit word can be taken this way, that way. It doesn't make them qualified to speak on this subject. They can explain Sanskrit grammar, etc., but they cannot make any devotees. The explanation won't change the heart of anybody. They can make you a karmic scholar, but they cannot make you a devotee. They cannot actually help you to make any progress in your life, in any way. That's why they are not qualified to talk in this. Yes, bro.
As an example of an exception from our own ranks, Narendra's Rupa, who before he became a devotee, he was studying comparative religion. And he was studying the teachings of Mayavad philosopher. And he came to the conclusion in the end that he was talking about Krishna is the Supreme Personality. It was Shankaracharya that he came, you know, to the conclusion that what he was teaching was actually that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. That was before he became a devotee. so he got it.
He got the mercy. And very good point.
There's a principle, I think it's from Chanakya, that one should be able to take a good lesson from a low-class person, gold from a filthy place, and a good wife from a low-class family. Yeah. You have to be a little bit expert to be able to...
To catch the fish and not to get... There are some devotees that they can do that, they're expert, like Paramahamsas. But we see that some other devotees, they get in trouble by associating with mundane scholars. We see that it happens again and again. They get bewildered and they deviate philosophically. There was an article I recommend to everybody to read from Sihotra Maharaj, which was entitled Are the karmic scholars as like poisonous snakes? Question mark. It's on his website. You can read on this subject. Yeah. Because they pose as very liberal, open-minded, but they're very narrow-minded when it comes to the question. That there is an absolute truth and absolute personality of Godhead. Then they are very dogmatic. So they look like they profess that they are very liberal and this is it, but they are not. They have their own dogma and they follow it, and if you don't agree with them, then they just disregard you. Oh.
I remember Dr. Fonemeyer was challenged and with an academic question. And he shot back at the person who was challenging. I don't see that you were qualified even to ask this question. He was a mediator, blah, 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 like that. And just, so the bottom point is, of our argument is, are they self-controlled?
It's the beginning.
It's like a standard of what is reality.
It's like in the beginning of Nectar of Instruction, the first thing Rupa Goswami says, who is qualified to have disciples all over the world? Only if he is self-controlled. That's the first thing he establishes. So this is the main reason why there is always this tension between the academics who study the Vedas and the practitioners, those who practice. There's always this tension. It should be recognized. So we are on this side. We're in the devotion. We are on the devotional side. We have problem with people just sticking their nose in the holy scriptures and making all kinds of nonsense conclusions. We have problem with this. We don't agree with this. We're not, in this sense, we're not liberal and open-minded. It's not allowed. Yes, bro, you want to say something?
What is the difference between dogma and axiom?
They both mean an assumption that is accepted by everybody, and it's not a subject of discussion. It can be discussed, you can explain why it is correct, but it shouldn't be doubted. I don't know, is there in English, what's the difference between dogma and
practical, you can see how it works. Mm-hmm. If you apply it, it always works.
So it's negative
connotation. It
cannot be explained logically.
Explained.
So you can take it in the negative sense. Dogma is something that cannot be explained logically. It doesn't make really sense. It's not reasonable. Mm-hmm. It's, yes, but maybe you know.
When I was studying chemistry and biochemistry, my lecture was a South Indian lady who's Vaishnava, and she was the best lecturer out of everyone, because she was self-controlled, she was a vegetarian. She followed her religious life, and you could just see the difference in her ability to impart knowledge, because she wasn't
slayed out. Wasn't distracted too much, Also, my experience, my best professors were actually people who were established to some extent in sattva guna. This is this is what makes everything works. If you're influenced by the mode of goodness, then you can explain things, you can understand things clearly, and people like you. You're sort of the smartest people in the school.
From your experience in distributing books, have you noticed that people who are like rabid religionists often buy books?
You mean adamant?
If they're Catholic or something like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a rabid academic, it's more difficult to change them, but a rabid religionist, they might be Christian. Do you have faith in Jesus?
Mm-hmm. This time.
But if you stick with them, then they often will take that experience.
Yeah, it happens more often if you compare the two groups. Although, I don't have so much experience with these two groups because usually I avoid them. In due course of time, when you learn to understand who is who, just by looking at him, or he say just one word and you already know. Then the professionals, usually what they do, you go to someone who, because these two groups are, we don't work so well with those two. So that's why I don't have so much experience with them, but normally it's like you say, my experience is the same. This group is a little more receptive, although it's troublesome. So we have to move from mantra 11. Who would like to read the mantra from the book? You have got your books. You are ready?
Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessing of immortality.
Thank you. So what does it mean to learn or to be acquainted with nescience? If you read Prabhupada's purport to this mantra, which everybody read, yes, I assume. You see, Prabhupada is making again and again the point that to know what is ignorance, that means to understand ignorance, that means to know that it is ignorance. He's making again and again the point that the material world is a place of suffering. So to be acquainted with nations means to understand, to realize it is nations or ignorance. To understand the nature of this place. It's a place of misery. Dukkalam Shashvata. Yes.
And if you don't realize it, does that mean you're steeped in ignorance and you don't?
If you don't realize it, that means you will find some value, something valuable here, and you'll try to enjoy it. And that means you cannot progress. You have to stay here. This is a very interesting point, actually. In Bhagavatam, in 11th canto, Krishna says that if someone still sees that there is something here, something valuable, he might be a devotee or transcendentalist. If he still sees something interesting here, that means he is in the position of someone who dreams that he has awakened. In his dream, he woke up, but actually this is only a dream. He didn't actually wake up. He still dreams. It can take some time to realize that there is nothing here. So Yeah. So like this. Like Priti Mushe just said that he was quoting Prabhupada, if you attach to even to material attachment, even to one rasagula, can keep you in the material world. Just one thing. It is not possible to overcome nature by material endeavors. Even great materialists like Hiranyakashipu and Ravana were not able to avoid death. What then can be accomplished by the tiny Hiranyakashipus and Ravanas of today, whose plans are thwarted from moment to moment? The great demons of the past try to overcome the material nature. Most of the modern people happily conform to her cruel laws.
The path of avidya, advancement of material knowledge for sense gratification, is the path of repeated birth and death. As he exists spiritually, the living entity has no birth or death. Birth and death apply to the outward covering of the spirit soul, the body. Death is compared to the taking off, and birth to putting on of outward garment. Foolish human beings who are grossly absorbed in the culture of avidya, nations, do not mind this cruel process. Enamored with the beauty of the illusory energy, they undergo the same miseries repeatedly and do not learn any lessons from the laws of nature. Sri Upanishad Mantra 10 Prabhu, 11 Prabhu.
Thank you. So again, the same point, there is no material solution to the material problems, and we cannot actually fix this material energy because it is meant to be like this. It is troublesome for the eternal spiritual soul. We cannot fix it by, even if we follow the very, very pious lifestyle, even if we follow perfectly the Vedic culture, and we act according to Vastu and Ayurveda and astrology, everything, then still there is Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi, birth, death, old age and disease. This cannot be avoided. We cannot fix this material energy. We can fix our consciousness, and in this way we can go back home to Godhead, but this place will remain as it is. Dukkalayam Shashvatam. Asukam Anityam Lokam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Asukam anityam. Without happiness, and anitya means temporary. Instead of trying to overcome the Lord's divine energy or conforming to it, the human beings should use the tribulations in the material world as an impetus to go home, back to Godhead. So this is the answer of this question, why there is an evil in this world. If there is God, why there is an evil? Why so many things are happening that are seen as negative? So the material world, as we learned from the first mantra, from the invocation, is perfect and complete. But part of this perfectness of the material world is that there are troubles inherently inside, like part of this place, because they remind us that this is not our home, and we have to go home back to God, develop our love for God, and go to the real world. So in this sense it is perfect, although there are always troubles in this material world. So here we see two options. First, there are people who try to overcome the material nature. And Prabhupada is making the point, even these greatest demons in the past, they couldn't do it, so how you will be able to do it? Hiranyakashipu and Ravana and others, they couldn't make it. And it is impossible, because we see 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair, we compare with the 1/4 of the creation, which is the material energy. It's 1/4 of the creation. So it's a big difference. We cannot overcome, we cannot fight with this, with the material nature. So this option is ruled out. And there are other people who, they don't really actively fight with the material nature, but they just conform to it. They try to somehow to get used to the situation. And I'm sure you've seen such people. When you preach, you always meet people who have enough intelligence to understand that there is some problem in this material world. It is not good. But they will go on saying, well, but this is natural, so that's the way it is. So you just, you know, try to tolerate as much as possible, and if some sense enjoyment comes along, you just grab it, squeeze it, enjoy. And this is, anyway, this is human life. This is what it is. These people are very hard to preach to, also. My experience. And we see the first group, because it is based on rajas, you try to overcome the material nature. You work hard. But because rajas is not stable position, it inevitably goes back to tamas. So actually the first position goes to the second. Then you get frustrated, and then you develop this philosophy that, well, it's not worth it trying, but this is the situation anyway. So it is based on tamas. Then it's not active. So without action, you won't get any result. That means we should actually be tolerant. This is what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, tam sthitik shastva bharata. But tolerance, in a sense, we should develop tolerance in the sense that we tolerate the material world. We tolerate the onslaught of happiness and distress in the material world, and we continue with our devotional service in this sense. Not just tolerate and being passive and not doing anything. Okay. Is that clear? So, who's going to read the quote? The miseries of this material world.
The miseries of this material world serve to indirectly remind us of our incompatibility with dead matter. Intelligent living entities generally take note of these reminders and engage themselves in the culture of vidya, or transcendental knowledge. Human life is the best opportunity for the culture of spiritual knowledge, and a human being who does not take advantage of this opportunity is called a Naradama, the lowest of human beings. Everyone is struggling hard for existence, but the laws of material nature are so hard and fast that they do not allow anyone to surpass them. In order to attain a permanent life, one must be prepared to go back to Godhead.
Thank you. In other words, we cannot hope that this planet will become Vaikuntha. Well, Prabhupada said this actually in one lecture on the Ratha Yatra, I think in San Francisco. He said, if you accept this process of Krishna consciousness, this world will become Vaikuntha. But we see, this is not generally what it is said in Shastra. So, in order to attain a permanent life, one must be prepared to go back to Godhead. That means we must be prepared to leave our material attachments. We cannot just keep our material attachments and develop love of God. It's not possible. These two won't go together. But it will make a great process, isn't it? You just keep all your material attachments and you still advance in Krishna consciousness. It's nice, huh? It's like telling to your wife or your girlfriend, I like you, I love you very much. you are the no, how they call this? Anyway, you're the most, yeah. And I love also all other beautiful girls in town. It won't work. But this is what we do to Krishna. We actually try to work like this with Krishna. We are somehow attracted to him. We have some affection, but we also want to keep our material attachments simultaneously. And this is one of the offenses against the holy name. The last one. Is it the last one? No, it's not the last one. It's the tenth. The tenth. Yeah, the tenth. Yes?
Why is it that in the previous mantra there's three definitions of knowledge, paravidya, aparavidya, and avidya? And this mantra is only avidya and vidya. Usually it comes from this definition to more. Is it because there's not so much focus in this mantra of the application of the conditioned nature?
You mean in the text of the mantra 10 or in the study guide? Yeah. Ah, okay. Well, because mantra 11 speaks directly about these two, so I need to already explain it in the previous ones. We assume that you understood the point, so. As apara and para,
including
here. Mm-hmm. The process by which one goes back to Godhead is described in the Vedic literatures, and it is revealed by the spiritual master. In order to successfully follow this process, one should restrict the material sense enjoyment as far as possible. The unrestricted sense enjoyment in the diseased material condition is the path of ignorance and death. What is restricted and unrestricted sense enjoyment?
Following the rules and regulations and just doing things mentally.
Yes, so it actually doesn't mean that the senses are not engaged with the sense object. It's very important to understand this point. Because it is not that the devotees, for example, they eat less than the karmis. We, you know, some of these brahmacharis, they can eat so much prasadam that a normal karmi, if he eats so much, then he will just faint after book distribution. That's why it's said that a book distributor can digest stones even. You know, have you heard this? Sankirtan devotees, you heard?
I read a quote from Srila Prabhupada. He said, "A hard-working man can digest a stone."
Yeah, so. So it is not that the senses are not engaged with the sense object, but it is done in a regulated way. And like in the Grihastha ashram, then it is the time for expanding. And this is the time when one should buy a fancy car or build a house, whatever. And there is no problem. The senses are engaged with the sense objects in a bona fide way, which is progressive. And then, when the time moves on, then when one takes vanaprastha, then is the time for the opposite. Then the senses are, it's something like pratyahara. The senses are gradually removed from the sense objects. Of course, this is again done in connection to Krishna. It's not just for the sake of renunciation. This is why it is said that if a vanaprastha have the opportunity to go for the feast, to take feast or to take simple kichri, he should take the kichri. But the grihastha, he can go to the feast and eat it. Enjoy. So there is no problem engaging the senses connected to Krishna. Okay, Srila Prabhupada concludes. What do you want to read? The quote.
Human activities deceived by a tendency towards self-gratification are being mitigated in various other principles of salvation. This system avoids religion, economic development, self-gratification, and salvation, but at the present moment, people have no interest in religion or salvation. They have only one aim in life, self-gratification. And in order to achieve this end, they make plans for economic development. Misguided men think that religion should be maintained because it contributes to economic development, which is required for peace. Thus, in order to guarantee further sense gratification after death in heaven, there is some system of religious observance. So this is not the purpose of religion. The path of religion is actually one for self-realization, and economic development is required just to maintain the body in a sound earthly condition. Once you really have a life in a sound mind, then just to realize vidya, true knowledge, which is the aim of human life. This life is not meant for working like you ask for culturing avidya for sense gratification. Unless religion, economic development, and sense gratification aim toward the attainment of emotional self-reward, they are all simply different forms of misguided food and emotional. How do you say
this? Nescience.
I also.
That's three from Ishapanta indicates in the following.
Thank you. So here Prabhupada says, misguided men think that religion should be maintained because it contributes to economic development, which is required for sense gratification. This is, in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, this kind of religion is rejected. But we see now, the situation is so degraded that people are not even aware that artha comes from dharma. They think money just comes from hard work. Or speculation or in the market or stealing or whatever. People don't know anymore that if you want money and sense enjoyment, you have to perform dharma. Unless religion, economic development and sense gratification aim toward the attainment of devotional service, they are all simply different forms of ignorance, nations. So unless dharma, artha, and kama, and even moksha are connected to bhakti, they're not useful. They're just ignorance. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Questions? Stop here.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.